From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Great to have all of you gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables hanging out with us today. And, wow, have we got a lot going on, a lot of politics happening, and, of course, a lot of reflecting back on what happened 19 years ago today when Muslim terrorists waged jihad on American soil in the name of the religion of peace. So there's a lot to talk about today, and we're taking your calls on that. Also, what happened last night, the season opening football game for the NFL. By the way, the ratings just came out, 16% drop in viewership. Are you really surprised? I just don't think the average American wants to be lectured about critical race theory during a football game. And I suspect that the average American has a problem with football players pledging allegiance and standing at attention to another nation's anthem and flag. And again, I don't know what nation the Black National Anthem represents. I don't know. I don't care. Because my national anthem is the Star-Spangled Banner. My flag, the red, white, and blue. And if you don't love it, well, Delta's ready when you are. They're more than happy to take you wherever you want to go. So we're going to be taking your calls on that. And my good friend Robin Walensky is on the Newsmaker line, but we're going to hold tight for just a second because Jim has been holding on forever from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I know he wants to weigh in on what's been happening. Jim, thanks for holding on, and what's on your mind, sir?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to you every chance I get, and you just need to keep toting that flag, man, and that Bible.
Well, you're kind to say it.
Through my mind. The thing that's going through my mind more than evil, or more than anything, is, you know, Jesus said there'd be days like this, where we start calling good evil and evil good. And, you know, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. It's just a sad situation, but in a way, I remember standing behind my couch when the towers got hit. And when the second one got hit, I just happened to be walking right behind it and watched it happen. In my heart, I said, it was like a bittersweet feeling. It was bitter for the people who died, but yet it was sweet because I knew this was a piece of the puzzle for the end. I actually had a dream about it the night before, which was quite incredible. But the one thing is, I don't think any political agenda or anything is going to change what we have. I'm a recovered alcoholic at 25 years. And they told me I was beyond human aid. And I didn't quite understand that in the beginning. I understand it clearly. Because if God didn't step in, I'd be dead a long time ago. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
And Jim, I'm telling you, you just nailed it. That was a home run, sir. Because I'm with you. I believe the only way out of this big mess that we're in right now as a country is through God. If we do not go back to the foundations of this country, if we do not get back to the basics of who we are, one nation under God, then we're doomed. And that's the message that we've got to pound into the brains of everybody in the country. Jim, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening, and God bless you, sir, and God bless your great journey out there. Now, I want to go back to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Robin Walensky, she is the host of Wake Up Memphis on KWAM. She is also the author of Covering Catastrophe. She was there on 9/11, one of the journalists covering probably the most important story of our lifetime, and she is on the Newsmaker line. Hey, Robin, looks like you're pulling double duty today.
I am, Todd, and I feel, you know, we talk about God so much, but I feel blessed to be working for you, a great patriot, because so many liberals in my life, so many of my liberal bosses over the last almost 20 years have always been fascinated by my story and then try to silence me on my story. And I look at the families today that wanted to speak live, the names, and the September 11th memorial, and some liberals who are on the board there didn't want them to do it, citing coronavirus concerns, and didn't want to put up the blue towers of light, which give people hope, not just in New York City, but in Memphis, in Virginia, in Washington, in California, around the country and around the world, and citing coronavirus concerns. And you know what? It's really about, Todd, because I've had plenty of time to think about it. It's that the folks on the right, the Republican president, they know how to deal with terrorists. Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush, President Trump. And that's what it's about. They want to sweep 9/11 right under the carpet and silence people like myself.
Robin, I go back to the days just after 9/11 when the networks got together and there were phone calls. And you and I know all about this because we had to work with a lot of these people. But the decision was made to stop showing the jetliners being flown into the buildings. They weren't going to show those photographs, that video. They weren't going to show the towers coming down because it was too offensive to people, and they were afraid that people might become too emotional. But Robin, looking back now, it seems to me that was part of this early stage of what we now call the cancel culture. And by doing away with those images and the videos, you forget what happened, and you forget the impact of what happened on this country.
You know, we had it right. I always tell people that 9/11/01 was journalism's best day. And in the book Covering Catastrophe, it's really a chronology of the day from the reporters in New York, D.C., and Pennsylvania who saw it, the eyewitness accounts, right? So we didn't want memories to lapse. The book was put together in the month, 2 months, right after 9/11 in October and November. The point being, though, Todd, to address your point, on that day, we were showing in America's newsrooms the real footage. People waving from the 101st floor, the 105, 104 of Tower 1, waving to helicopters for help to be rescued. But the flames and the heat was so intense that the helicopters would have exploded had they gone closer to the building. And we showed the picture of people saying a prayer, holding hands, and jumping to their death. And now that's erased from history. And you're right, Todd. The cancel culture started then. And it's so what? So we're upsetting people? It's okay to go to a funeral. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel bad one day of the year. Because without feeling the emotion of that day and remembering what radical Islamic terrorists, jihadists, wanted to topple the towers and take us down, if we don't feel bad one day out of 365, then when are we going to feel bad about it? And I am so scared, Todd, for this generation, like you've been talking about and we've been talking about for weeks and weeks, this generation in the history books, they're not being taught what really happened on that terrible day when terrorists tried to take us out.
No, you're absolutely right. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Robin Walensky, she is the author of the book Covering Catastrophe. She was there on 9/11 at Ground Zero while it was all playing out. You know, Robin, when you look at today's generation, you've got basically everybody that's currently in a public grade school, high school. They were not born. They were just, you know, just a baby when all of this happened. And they don't understand, and you really do wonder what the schools have been teaching these young people over the years, or if they are even teaching about what happened on 9/11.
It's crazy. My husband has four children who fall into this category. I have three nephews in the Boston area who fall into this category. They know very, very little about 9/11. I'm very concerned about the Common Core agenda. It's not taught properly in our textbooks with our kids. It really only seems like homeschoolers are getting the facts straight. And it's very troubling to me. Because I'll tell you, Todd, I live with this every day. My PTSD is with me. If I see a fire, if I smell smoke, if I hear a loud boom, I go right back to the sights and sounds and smells of 9/11. And now there are so many people, and I've been meaning to mention this all day, that there are more people, Todd, more Americans who have died from 9/11 toxins in the aftermath of the World Trade Center, firefighters, civilians, police officers, news reporters like myself, who are suffering from cancer and other diseases. Bin Laden knew what he was doing. He was patient. He waited us out in the cave for 8 long years while we were distracted as a nation, Todd. And I have made it my life's work to tell the story of the 93 radical Muslim attack on the Twin Towers. They wanted to take it down then, to topple the towers in 93. They waited patiently, and they got us. And while we're distracted as a nation with Muslim Brotherhood and Antifa and fighting each other, they could come back and get us again.
Well, and that is a big concern. And you know, again, the president's chief concern about securing our southern borders, it was about the terrorists coming in from some of these third world countries. And we know for a fact that Islamic radicals have crossed that border, and they live in this country as in sleeper cells. We don't know what they've got planned, but that's the problem. We are so focused on things that should not be an issue. I mean, again, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, Antifa, the anarchist. You're right. Our attention is diverted from the bigger issue, which is there are people out there that want to wipe this nation off the face of the earth.
And Todd, you're right. Think about the distraction in the weeks leading up to 9/11. We were talking in this country about Gary Condit, the congressman, and Chandra Levy, the intern who was missing. That was the number one story on television and in newspapers in the days leading up to the September 11th attack. And between the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and 9/11, we were distracted by Oklahoma City. And we were distracted, the New York office of the FBI, by TWA Flight 800. And Bill Clinton, I was there in New York, Todd. He never came to New York in the aftermath of the 93 World Trade Center radical Muslim terrorist bombing, and he never stood on the soot-covered white snow and declared that this was a terrorist act on America and that we're going to get you. He never did it.
Well, that's because Robin Walensky, he was chasing the interns around the Oval Office, but you know who did, Robin Walensky? Cut number 4, please.
Is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you!
Robin Walensky, you know, they used to make fun of George Bush for not being an orator. But I got to tell you, that was the most passionate speech of any president in modern American history.
It was. And the thing about it, Todd, he was standing on a pile of the rubble. He had his arm around a retired New York City firefighter. I had the pleasure of meeting him many years ago, that firefighter. He learned how to work that bullhorn. It was spontaneous. It was off the cuff, and in my opinion, there were a lot of things about the Bush administration that I wasn't 100% in line with, Todd, but I'll tell you, that was George W. Bush's finest moment. That was the American spirit. That's what we were feeling in that moment in time, and that will go down in history, in my opinion, as the number one soundbite of his administration. Todd, before I leave you, I have to tell you something, that the overwhelming sentiment that I'm feeling today in the spirit of George Bush and America is I am reminded from Tim Lambert, whose family used to own the land in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I had him on the show this morning on Wake Up Memphis. And Tim reminded me that on the Flight 93, the 40 Americans, in their last moments in life, knowing that they were going to die, knowing that they were going to storm that plane, they took a vote. Think about that, Todd. We're on that flight together. We know we're going to die. And we take a vote like an election. And we do the American thing. And we take a vote. And they voted collectively to storm the cockpit. And you hear Todd Beamer saying, let's roll. And they put that plane down selflessly and saved thousands of lives because that plane was headed toward the Capitol to take the dome off. Think about that. I want every listener to think about that. That's the America I know. That's the America I love.
Robin Walensky, powerful words there. Robin, go enjoy your weekend. Folks, go and get a copy of this great book, Covering Catastrophe. It's available on Amazon. Robin Walensky, one of the authors of this powerful, powerful book, a collection of journalism reports from that day. Robin, thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you, Todd.
We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, somebody needs to explain to me what I'm looking at here. This is a very troubling photograph. And I believe we've posted it on the live show blog so you can see for yourself what I'm about to describe to you. And my apologies if you are currently eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich, that hot, juicy chicken breast tucked between hot buttered buns. You just might want to pause for just a moment. There is a photograph, an ad circulating, involving the Burger King guy and Ronald McDonald. Does the Burger King guy, Grace or Avery, do we know, does the Burger King King have a name, or is he just Burger King?
Yes, just Burger King.
Just the King.
Oh, just the King. All right, very good. So apparently, apparently Burger King is a homosexual. Or are we allowed to say homosexual now, or is that a slur?
Yeah, that I think that is the proper term today, but you know,
gay idol. Anyway, likes dudes, or in this particular instance, clowns, because the photograph is Burger King making out with Ronald McDonald.
It's a very disturbing image.
Well,
geez, Aloo,
I can't eat lunch now.
Yeah, I'm glad I already ate.
Part of the Helsinki Pride thing. This is happening overseas in Finland. Burger King, Finland. It's part of their. Part of their love conquers all.
Okay.
Fast food. Jeez, Aloo. All right. We've got the picture on, if you can dare to look at it there. Burger King and McDonald's making out. Mm-mm-mm. You know, it's not every day that we get to have two Huckabees on the show. That's pretty cool. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show on this Friday edition. Let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, good to hang out with you today.
Well, thank you. It sounds like you've had the more important part of the family with you today. And I hope so.
she did a great job. Sarah Sanders, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, did a great job. She was on the first hour of the show, Governor, and talking about that great new book she's got. And it's really a great read.
Well, it is a great book, and I think it's very timely. For people who want to know what really was happening and is happening in the White House, she gives that perspective. And every source that she quotes, she names. She does not go into these unnamed sources, highly placed White House official. I'm so sick of that because it's nonsense. If a person has something derogatory to say about the president right before an election, have the guts to put your face on the camera and speak into the microphone and let us hear from you. But this nonsense about an anonymous source and someone high up, that's just chicken, pure chicken.
Well, it is chicken, and I'm glad that she named names. And, you know, it's interesting, all these people willing to come out on the record and refute these allegations made by these anonymous people. This is the way they play the game up there, Governor. But I got to tell you, I just don't think the American people, I don't think they're buying any of this stuff.
Well, I think one thing that really quickly put this whole thing down was you had this so-called anonymous source. And, you know, even some of our friends at Fox were saying, my sources have confirmed. But once again, who are those sources? Are they the same sources that told Woodward? We don't know that those are true. We probably think they aren't. So the fact that some other unnamed source confirmed an unnamed source doesn't do anything. Here's the other side. Over 20 people so far who were actually with the president during that period of time, including people like John Bolton, who doesn't like the president, came out and said, this is nonsense. This simply did not happen.
You know, we've been talking a lot about the football situation, the National Football League last night coming out having their season opener, and it was interesting. The ratings just came out, Governor, a 16% drop in viewership from last year. Any surprise there?
I'm surprised that it's only 16% drop. I honestly would have thought it would have been more. I know this, Todd. I'm done with the NFL and the NBA. I never was somebody that was obsessed with it anyway. But I just don't have time for that. You know, if I want to be preached to, I'll go to church. I'm not going to turn on a sports broadcast to have some multi-million dollar athlete tell me how oppressed he is. I'm just not going to listen to that. You know, or some NBA player who's selling out to China and making a fortune off slave labor tennis shoes, and then somehow trying to tell me how sad he is for people who have been mistreated over here in America, where you can become anything you want to be, and the government doesn't put you in prison for life.
You know, at the same time, earlier in the show, we played this great, it was an ESPN show, 30 for 30, several years ago, and they documented President Bush throwing out that that famous pitch during the World Series just right after 9/11. And it was really interesting to see how at one time in this country, sports unified the country. There was great patriotism. The players celebrated America. They stood for the national anthem. People cheered USA. You didn't have people taking a knee or doing any of the other things that are being done to divide this country by way of sports.
No, you know, sports kind of has historically been that one place, maybe that in entertainment as well, where you could escape from the pressures and the problems of life and enjoy a break and be able to cheer on your team or watch a movie or listen to music. And now everyone who takes the stage wants to spout off how wrong America is. And there's some of us that just aren't having it. And I think that's a growing number of people. It was interesting to me, the number of people in Kansas City last night that actually booed when the players decided they were going to take a knee and disrespect the anthem.
Well, it seems to, and a lot of people got upset about that. But, Governor, my philosophy is if you're going to let the players protest on the field, you got to let the fans protest in the stands.
Well, exactly. I mean, why isn't that totally appropriate? If you say you can only protest if you agree with what I say as I'm walking down the street burning a tire, throwing a Molotov cocktail, or taking a knee in a football stadium. But if you don't agree with that, then you have no voice. Well, that kind of is utterly hypocritical.
You know, Governor, I was having a conversation with somebody the other night, and we were talking about your great Saturday show on TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, and I was trying to explain to this person the ratings. You have Fox News-level ratings on TBN. I mean, it's a massive audience that watches that show of yours.
It is really stunning. In fact, our audience numbers are up 62% from a year ago, which is just amazing. It's a show that I can understand why people want to watch it. I'll give you an idea. Tomorrow on the show, we have Rudy Giuliani, a young lady named Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and we have Jim Caviezel that a lot of people know from television or they know from The Passion of the Christ, a great actor and a great person. You know, those are just some of the people that we have on the show, and we have a lot of fun. Coming up later this year, we have Nick Walenda. Now, how many shows do you know on television that have a high-wire act other than me going and doing a monologue? A high-wire act, to say the least.
I love it. You know, it's a fun show, and you were so kind to have me on when my last book came out, and it's one of the most well-fed green rooms in all of television. I will say that.
Well, that's good to hear, and we love having you. Hope to have you back.
It was fun. By the way, the one complaint I have about Sarah, she did not divulge the family recipe on that pecan pie.
Well, that's terrible. Let me see if I can get that for you, because I might just sneak that over to you. It's really good to tell you.
I'll owe you some ribs for that one, Governor. So.
Yes, you do.
All right, Governor, it's always good hearing from you, and I can't wait to watch the show this weekend on Trinity Broadcasting Network.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too, Governor. Governor Mike Huckabee, everybody. And the pie is – I don't know if you guys don't remember that story. It was it didn't get a lot of coverage in the mainstream media, but I made a big deal about it when I was at Fox. Sarah, this happened around Thanksgiving. Sarah Sanders had posted an Instagram picture of her family pecan pie recipe. It was just a delicious looking pie. April Ryan from, I believe it was NPR. I forget whoever she worked for, Urban Radio Network, one of those nonprofit networks. And she called out Sarah Sanders and suggested that the pie was a fake, that she was that was not her pie. Now, growing up in the Deep South, there are just some things you don't do. You don't speak ill of Elvis. You always go to church during the revival meeting week, and you never, never, ever question the authenticity of a Southern woman's pie. It's just, you know, those are fighting words. And as one of our great listeners from Gadsden, Alabama once said, you know, that's time, you know, when somebody says something like that, when somebody questions the authenticity of your pecan pie recipe or pecan pie recipe, that's when the hair goes up, the hoops come off, and you have a come to Jesus meeting. And I wrote about this story. It was so funny. I actually called up Sarah to get a comment. And she, you know, it was, I know it was a silly story, but you know what? It showed you how petty and mean-spirited the White House press corps really is. They were horrible people. What they said about her and the body shaming, the whole nine yards, it was just despicable. And I'm glad to hear what President Trump did. Because, you know, when you sign up to work at the White House, you kind of know what you're getting into, but this is beyond that. This is beyond just the petty politics of the day. These people are just downright evil. They're like the what's that movie from? Was it from the 1990s? The Mean Girls. This is like the Mean Girls. That's what that is. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, I don't know if you are like me and have a Netflix subscription, but you need to cancel that, and we're going to talk about that in the next hour of the program. But if you've got a Netflix subscription, you're supporting pedophilia and pornography, and it's a bizarre story, and we're going to talk about that in the next hour of the program. Do you want to go to the phones right now, 844-747-8868. Ken from Whitehall, Arkansas, hanging out with us on KARN. All right, Ken, it sounds like you're a fired-up football fan.
Well, I was until last night, and it's so I listen to you every day, and God bless you for the word that you put out. But, yeah, I'm a transplant up here. I lived around the Houston area for 35 years. I've been up here for about five now. And when I seen what the Texans did, and the preaching that went on before the game and everything. I had a hat that I paid good money for while I was at a game down there. And I brought it out here, and we had a bonfire. And that's it with me in the NFL, at NBA, I could care less. MLB, I coached baseball down there for 18 years, Little League and what have you. I don't even care about baseball anymore.
Ken,
I don't turn on sports.
Ken, hold on a second. Ken, so you have Houston, Texas, you got a Houston Texans hat, and you set the thing on fire?
Yes, sir, I did. I shot a video of it, but I'm so old, I don't know how to work my phone, and right now I'm kicked off Facebook because a Democrat didn't like something I said, and so I'm still in Facebook jail for the next 21 days, I believe.
Brother, I've been in Facebook jail more times than I care to count. It's like a Johnny Cash song.
I got back out of Facebook jail one day, and I lasted 17 minutes because I said something that they didn't like about Michelle Obama.
Wow. Don't say it on the radio. Don't say it on the radio. Hey, Ken.
Oh, no.
Ken, I got to share this with you.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad, but when you're talking about the Obamas or the Clintons or whatever,
you can't talk about Facebook
to kick you off.
Mm-hmm. No, ladies and gentlemen, Ken from Whitehall, Arkansas, is preaching the truth. Hey, Ken, interesting.
I'm waiting for them to change the name from Whitehall to God knows what. I mean, if you can get a black anthem and a black flag and everything, well then. Whitehall, Arkansas, maybe you're next.
Gender neutral hall? I don't know. It's you never know. Hey, Ken, I got to share this with you. This is from Fox News. J.J. Watt, who is honestly a good guy. You know, he's done a lot of good charitable stuff. You know, he's a member of the Houston Texans. He was one of the guys hiding in the locker room during the national anthem. He's very upset over something that happened. I've got the audio here. Let's play cut. This is what happened when all the players came out. They were holding hands and having this moment of unity for racial reconciliation or something. Cut number two. Wow. You know what's interesting about this audio is that it has not been, we haven't done anything with it. This is what it sounded like in the stadium, and there are only, a few thousand people there. But anyway, Ken, J.J. Watt is he's very upset. He says that it was very unfortunate that all of those people booed. And
I can tell you this, I've met J.J. Watt personally numerous times at high school football games at Pearland, Texas, which is a suburb about 20 miles south of Houston. And I met him, and my son, I mean, just we loved him and everything. But last night, with what he did, and like you've been saying, you can protest on that field, but these people can't protest in the stands. Well, why don't you just leave the protesting at your home or wherever else you want to do it? But why is it okay for you to do it? And like you said, these people paid money to come see you, and then you're upset? Nah, I'm not a J.J. Watt fan anymore either.
You know, it's really sad, and again, I mean, I like J.J. Watt, but Ken, I got to tell you something. I think a lot of these guys are just scared. I think they're scared of the backlash that they're going to get if they speak out against the mob.
Well, I got another story for you, but I don't know how much time you got, but I got assaulted at a local store down here last Thursday, and I didn't take it. I'm a veteran. I'm a senior citizen. And I decked this young black man. He was a cashier that was checking me out. And he didn't like the Trump mask that I had on. So he said, well, I told him, I said, I'll be out of this store in about 5 minutes. And he said, well, why wait? So I went out there. He threw a punch, hit me in my left cheek. And I decked him three times. I walked out. And this grocery store chain has apologized to me ever since. That person been with him for 2 weeks. They're fired. And, yeah, that just happened.
Ken, good grief. Yeah, no, it sounds like you're, it sounds like, as they say, the old movie, what was that movie network? You're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore. And honestly, Ken,
exactly right, sir.
Ken, I think a lot of other Americans feel the same way you do. Ken, thank you for the phone call, and thanks for listening to KARN. Good people there. We just love our affiliate there in Little Rock, Arkansas. Love all of our great affiliates. Just heard from Ray Richardson from WLOB in Portland, Maine, who's hanging out with us today on the internet as well. And we're also following all of your great comments and everything on the Facebook page. Hey, in the final few seconds, we have this hour of the show. I want to remind you about a couple events. Next weekend, I'll be speaking in North Carolina. It's going to be a great weekend event. Me, Pastor Robert Jeffers, are going to be speaking at a Salt and Light rally, and we would love to see you there. If you'd like ticket information, you can go to the website, Live Show Blog. We have it there for you, toddstearns.com. And then the week after that, I will be in Los Angeles. And the Governor Huckabee and I are going to be speaking at an event together, and we would love to see you there. It's there are all sorts of different levels of tickets available. All of the money that is raised through ticket sales, all of it goes to benefit West Coast Baptist College. And Lord knows, we need some more Christian colleges out in the state of California. You better believe we do. So we would love to see you at the event. It's so we have one event coming up next week, and then the week after we're going to be in Los Angeles. And then, believe it or not, the week after that, I'm back in Los Angeles for another event. So we're getting out there and looking forward to meeting a lot of you folks. If you are on hold, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls right after the top of the hour news. And I want to weigh in on this story from Netflix, where they are broadcasting a movie about sexualized 11-year-olds. Let me explain how bizarre this is in the final few seconds we have here for this this hour. The show stars 11-year-old girls who dance and writhe about provocatively on the movie. And yet this movie has a parental rating, so you cannot watch this if you're under the age of 18. So why is it that you have 11-year-olds starring in a movie that is so racy and so provocative that you can't watch it if you're under the age of 18? It is nothing more than pornography and pedophilia. And if you have a Netflix subscription, you need to cancel that. We're going to be talking about it coming up, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Again, our website, toddstearns.com. Get some tickets for our upcoming events in the Live Show Blog. We'll be right back, everybody.